The Rebel Capitalist Show, episode 60. Welcome to the podcast that helps you build wealth and thrive in a world of out-of-control central banks and big governments. This is the Rebel Capitalist Show. All right, guys, it gives me a great deal of pleasure to bring someone to the Rebel Capitalist Show that I have a tremendous amount of respect for. He's absolutely the number one go-to guy when it comes to making money online. A lot of people have asked me, or they've looked at my YouTube channel, and they said, George, it's the only thing growing faster than the Fed's balance sheet. And I owe a lot of it to this guy right here. His name is Miles Beckler. Miles, thanks for being on the show.
Cheers, George. Happy to be here, man. And that's trillions with a T on that balance sheet. So if you're growing that quick, man, this is awesome. And I'm happy to share everything I know.
All right, buddy. So I want to start by giving people kind of an idea of what we're going to be talking about, then diving into your backstory, because it's really fascinating. So kind of geared towards three groups. We've got some of my viewers who really want to unplug from the system. They might want to go off grid, or they just don't like what's happening in the United States, or maybe they're in Australia or another developed country. So they want to have some financial freedom or more flexibility. Also, you've got a young group of people that maybe they're in the gig economy or what's happening right now with, we'll call it the cerveza sickness, so I don't get demonetized from YouTube. I think you know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
But this group of individuals, and they're looking for maybe a side hustle or something that they could potentially grow into a long-term business. And then you've got some individuals who have some disposable income or some investment capital, maybe it's 50,000, 100,000 plus. They understand gold, they understand Bitcoin, they get the benefits of cash flowing real estate or maybe buying cheap stocks that are paying good dividends. But I think you could open up a whole new world for them on digital assets that are very similar to real estate in the sense that they pay you to own them. And that's my definition of an investment. So could we start with your backstory and then we'll move on to those other topics?
For sure, man. And what we need to do is connect a couple of those groups together, because those with the budgets and those with the heart to hustle, boy, that's the match made in heaven. So I started making money online in 2003, actually. I was at community college. I was doing college radio. And my program director, who was another student, was like, Miles, I need you at the station more. And I was like, dude, I got to work. I was in the Bay Area crossing bridges six times a day because I would work and then school and then work and then school. And he was like, let me show you this little side hustle. So he taught me essentially how to do what's called affiliate marketing, where I earned a commission when I helped another company get new customers. So I was kind of a commission-only salesperson, if you will. That all kind of imploded because I wasn't doing it right. And it was the first try. I made tens of thousands of dollars, and then it just kind of went down to zero. In 2009, my wife and I co-founded a website, and we're still running that website today, 10 years later. It has reached the lives of over 40 million people. It has generated millions of dollars, and we started it from a $95.40 investment. I was flat broke. I had $50,000 in student loan debt. I had to move back in with my parents because I couldn't afford my cheap ass rent. And I was living pretty cheap at that point. It was beans and rice. So we kind of proved to ourselves that we could do this pure hustle. In 2016, I started teaching everything I know for free on YouTube. So all the bits and pieces that we've used and what I learned that didn't work and did work to build that business. And now I've got a YouTube channel. It's got about 130,000 subscribers. It's doing very well. Wife's business is doing extremely well. We've got a team of about 20 people. And I just did a new test of, choosing a random niche, building a random brand new affiliate marketing site. In 10 months, it went from zero to generating about $3,700, $3,800 per month. And that cash flow is going to continue to increase. I don't exactly see where the ceiling is on this. And my big philosophy here was, okay, so I'm generating monies, right? My cash flow is good. What do I do with these monies? Which can be a very dangerous question to ask. And I have a real estate background. I was thinking, do I buy an investment property? Do I put $50,000 down, 20% down on a house and this, that, the other? Then you got termites and tenants and water heaters and roofs and all this liability stuff that comes with an asset, but there's risk with it. Or do I triple down on what I know, right? Like invest in what you know. type philosophy. And so I decided to take that same amount of money and deploy it through a team. So I put in an incredibly small amount of effort myself. And I had a team build it out, and it was a big experiment. And at this point, I'm about $40,000 in total capital. It's generating upwards of $4,000 per month. So if I kind of turn everything off and the traffic continues, I'm at approximately a 10-month cash on cash return. If I was to take that same type of money into real estate, you're generally looking at like a 5, 8, 10-year cash on cash return. And the assets in my world of digital stuff, I can generally sell it for upwards of 30x cash flow, as long as the numbers look good and you have a track record. So it's a liquid asset. There are people who would be willing to pay, quick math, $120,000 roughly is the approximate asset value we've created. It'll get more when I have 6 months of very consistent, because my income is still growing. But that's kind of where we're at today. Yeah. And I think it's a wide open world. There's no better time than today to be looking at the digital world for starting a business and helping people.
Yeah. So a couple questions there. First of all, when you're describing that, it reminds me of going and doing a house flip. I still do a lot of real estate investing in South America. And it's like buying something cheap, fixing it up, building a ton of equity. So now it's worth a lot more, but it's cash flowing a lot. But the difference here is I think the cash flow can really go up quickly. So my first question would be, how many hours a month are you spending on it right now to generate that $4,000?
Yeah, great question. So me personally, one or two, a random call with my project manager. All in all, the team has put approximately 2,000 man hours into this website in 10 months. So that, you know, rough average, we're looking at 200 hours per month at the 1 year mark, because I designed this as a 1 year experiment. So okay. We're going to continue sprinting through the 1 year mark. I may actually, if I didn't have my hat over the fence on this, I probably would ease back to one post per week right now, which is cutting my efforts down by about 70%, because I want to get my cash flow back. I want to get my investment back, my capital back as quickly as I can. So we're just going to continue sprinting to 1 year to see what we can hit as far as a monthly number in a year. And then we're really going to scale it back. And once we scale it back, I assume it's literally going to take something to the tune of 40 to 60 hours per week. And from me, it'll be even less. It may be a half hour, 40 to 60 hours per month at that point in time. And from me, maybe a half hour a month tops at this point in time. And I look at it more like a real estate development. So there's another angle to this that the high cash flow, the high earners are going to kind of connect with. So I was thinking about buying a pre-made website, because there's a great secondhand market for websites. They are very, very liquid assets. So I talked to my tax person, which is the first person I go to, like, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. And she's like, well, I don't know the exact terminology, but I wouldn't be able to deduct the whole expense. So if I put $250,000 down on a site right now, I would actually get 10% per year over the course of 10 years as my depreciation. There's some goodwill thing, and there's something jargony in there that meant I couldn't get all that money back. And she's like, why wouldn't you just build it from scratch? Because you can write off everything.
Yeah, that's right.
Like every hour, everything, every tool, everything I put in, I can write off 100% of it this year. So it really served a two-level purpose for me and my business with where I'm at and trying to keep my taxes down. And that benefit alone my tax rate, 23-24% total on $40,000. Like that kind of already was just a net positive to the fam.
Okay, so you can get to the point where you're only spending maybe an hour or two per month. How much time were you spending on it at the beginning? I'm assuming a lot more than that, and it's kind of gradually been reduced over time.
So personally, very little. I have I hired a project manager to do everything, and he makes good money, and he's $45 an hour, and so I have maybe two or three conversations with him per month. I'm literally linking him up with most of my videos. Like I've taught all of the bits and pieces, all of the how-to. I've connected him with a couple of courses. I gave him access to a couple of courses that I use, and they've got really step-by-step training. And this again was for me. My wife's business is growing rapidly. I mean, it is a seven-figure business, right? Like that's where my attention needs to be as a CEO. So think of it kind of from a corporate structure, right? I run a digital publishing company, if you will. So I just, as the CEO, thought, okay, we need a division who can build and deploy and maybe create a portfolio of these websites. Who is my lieutenant to make that happen was like the number one thing. And that can be a really difficult thing to find for people who are outside of the industry. But personally, I'm spending an incredibly small amount. I bought the I bought a pre-made site. It was $1,200 for the first eight website or for the first eight posts, a brand, a logo, a look. $1,200. I was in the back of an Uber on my way to a speaking gig in Los Angeles. So like it just kind of almost haphazard approach. Didn't know much about what we're selling, what we're promoting, what we're working on in there. And it was kind of a, can anyone just do this in any random niche and actually make it with enough focused effort? And I think we've proven yes. But there's domain knowledge. It's a specific knowledge world. And I know there's a lot of money in our world right now looking for yield, and it's possible here, but it's very difficult to get if you don't understand how the game works and you don't understand the basics and you don't have a lieutenant who you trust, who you can bark at when they're going in the wrong direction. And I'm checking up on what he's doing, but I can do so instantaneously because I've done it over and over and over again. And that's one of the kind of key components. And that's where the shady scammers come in. And there was a big company that was selling cash flow websites, and they just got shut down by the FTC because it turned out to be a Ponzi scheme. So in the same breath that it's absolutely possible, it must be acknowledged that it's like puts and calls, right? Like, sure, it can work if you know what you're doing. But if you don't know what you're doing, it's a quick way to lose $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 or more. Right. Your life savings could be gone. And it's the same kind of due diligence, and the same thing does apply here.
Right. But I think what's interesting here is you can do this if you've got the $40,000 to invest. There's several different options. You can kind of grow it, buy a website that's $1,200, hire people. And when you say posts, I'm assuming you're talking about blog posts. Yep. So you've got a specific niche, and let's say your niche is gold investing. So you buy a website that's already kind of designed to have these components or these features, and then you hire someone to do these posts on how to invest in gold or how to store gold or whatever the case may be that's aimed at that specific target market. And then you're keyword optimizing these blog posts. So when someone goes to Google and searches in best gold storage, hopefully one of your posts will come up, and then you'll direct them to a partner who you have a lot of confidence in. And then if the sale goes through, then you'll get an affiliate commission for that. So that's kind of the process from A to Z. Am I correct there?
Totally. So the high level, 100% spot on that. What it is our world now, everyone's operating through a couple of different search engines. Okay. When we need something, when we want to learn something, we generally go to YouTube or Google, and that's it. Right. And the only thing that ranks on YouTube or Google is content. On YouTube, it's video content. On Google, it's written text content is what ranks. And we use blog posts. WordPress is a open source blogging platform that works really well. So our job, what we do, the output of my team is massive amounts of focused, optimized, expert written content. I hire in expert writers, and then I hired expert optimization people, and they make sure that the content is, number one, it's actually really helpful. Okay. We want to make sure they learn everything they need to learn about gold in your situation. Right. And number two, so there's two audiences, right? There's the Google audience. We need to make sure Google falls in love with the content. But then when a human reads it, we need to make sure the human falls in love with the content as well, because that's what builds trust. Look at your channel's growth, right? That it's because of how it's who you are and the content you're putting out, but it's also how you're structuring the content to get YouTube to fall in love. And when you play both of those at once, the traffic goes up. People click on, take your recommendations, and that's where the cash flow can come in on the other end.
Okay, so how does someone leverage this if, number one, they have more time than money, so basically no money, but they've got some time, or someone who says, okay, I've got a little bit to invest, but I kind of know the online space. I mean, I understand how to use like Google and Excel, but boy, what Miles is talking about, that is way over my head. And then you've got the individual that says, okay, this sounds interesting. Wow, look at that return that Miles got. He took $40,000. Now he's got an asset that's throwing off $3,000 a month that he could sell on in a very liquid market, by the way, for call it $100,000 to $120,000. This sounds fantastic, but I barely know how to use my email. So how on earth would I do this? How would you, what would you say to those three groups of people?
Yeah, so you're going to need three specific things to happen on a very regular basis. So number one is the ideas or the content itself. Okay, so if someone's going into the world of gold investing, you better have some experience in there. You better know what you're talking about. So there's domain knowledge is number one. Number two is the technical knowledge, which is WordPress. It's how to publish. It's YouTube. It's how to actually get the video up with the right title, the right tags, the right thumbnails. So those are the two key components. And then number three is the structuring of content, whether it's a YouTube script or the actual blog post itself. So if you are the expert, you don't necessarily have to write the post. If you don't love writing, you don't have to write it, but you might find a way to come up with a basic outline, record a quick audio, and pass it off to your writer teammate. And then your writer teammate is able to write that thing out for you. We pay 3 cents per word to our writers. They write that whole post out, and then they pass it off to your publisher. And the person who publishes it for me, they make about $5 per hour. They're in the Philippines. They do all my graphics design. They do all my layout works. And so there's a kind of a geo arbitrage going on with that developer level person. So that's the core of it. So if you're bootstrapped, you do all of them. That's the answer, right? You just do all of the things because you can't afford to hire someone out. If you've got a little bit of a budget, you should be doing two or three of those things and hire out the one that is the farthest from your kind of skill set, if you will. Right. If you are a talented writer, be the writer, do the writing. Maybe you need to hire an editor for that little last overview. That'll cost you $30 instead of $150. Perfect. And I think for anyone who's in that middle range, learn the basics of WordPress, learn the basics of YouTube. It's not that hard, right? The first time you do it, it's like, what the hell is what? How? And then the second time you're like, oh, okay. And then by the 10th time you've done it, it becomes second nature and you get through that learning curve and it becomes easy. And it's not actually a gigantic challenge. That's really the parts. And then if you've got enough capital that you're like, I want to build a division around this, you have to find a lieutenant. And there's a lot of them out there. See, I have in my audience, 130,000 subscribers on YouTube. There's so many people in my audience who don't know what they're passionate about. They don't have that thing where it's clear. It's like, I am all in on this. My wife's website, for example, is in spirituality, meditation. She loves this stuff. Right. Like it is, she's constantly reading this. She's just so immersed in this and she loves that world. So it's just natural. That's obviously what we're going to talk about. So there's this whole group of people in our world. They're living in mom and dad's basement still. They can't go get a real job because everything is closed. They've got student loan debts that they're probably trying to push out and interest and whatever. They're paying interest only type thing. And they would love to connect with someone who is all in on gold. They've been dealing with working with gold forever. They're inflation specialists, or it could be anything. It could be kitchen knives. And so it's finding that kind of lieutenant who's willing to roll up the sleeves and do the technical parts for you. Right. My lieutenant, I don't want him doing the technical pieces. I want him running the team. So he's much more like a chief operations officer than he is like a frontline. He's not an infantryman. He's, you know, I'm kind of the admiral level. He's the general and he has his teammates who he works. Costs a lot more to build it out that way, but now I have a team structure and that's an asset for my business. We can now go deploy what we've done site after site after site, and I can potentially stack up these kinds of cash flows over and over and over again. So it's kind of like, where are you in the process? What assets do you have? Always comes down to building an amazing team around you, which is true with everything in this world, and taking some time to really structure it out. But I love this idea of like having that right-hand person, that lieutenant. If you're going to be spending money and you're like, cool, 40 grand, that's not a big deal, Miles, I get it. That sounds like a great return. You got to make sure the people who that money is going to, they got their head on their shoulders, their head's not up their arse, they understand the game. Because if they don't, that money could burn up and it could turn into nothing. A bunch of words written by people who don't know what they're talking about, that don't rank, and it just doesn't work. I think we kind of touched on all three of those.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we did. And I just, a couple things there. As an example of this, when I first got into YouTube or started posting videos, call it 8 or 9 months ago, I mean, I knew nothing. I literally didn't know how to upload a video. Like I had to like figure it out. Like what button do I push? Like where is it? How does this work? And just through watching a lot of your videos, which are just free on your YouTube channel, I got enough of an understanding to at least start posting videos to like figuring out what I was doing right and what I was doing wrong. Then also to manage a group of people to where I didn't need to be an expert at everything. I just needed to have a basic understanding so I could manage those people and have them do the important key components of building a YouTube channel, or in this case, building a blog or a website. I want to go back quickly to the finding the specific topic or niche. Is it extremely important for someone to find something that they're just absolutely passionate about and just move forward to that? Or from more of an investor type, could they say, listen, I've got 100 grand, 200 grand, or maybe even 50 grand. I think that this website is for sale and I'm not super, super passionate on, let's say, Bitcoin, but I know enough about it, but I think I could really make some money here.
Yeah.
How do you weigh those two components?
And I think that it's a sliding scale. So the more you're going to be involved in it, hands-on, the bootstrappers, the hustlers who are just, they're on the $95 investment and I'm just going to build this thing out kind of approach. It helps to have an affinity for it in that world. It helps to have it be something you're interested in, because if you're doing everything from ground one, it's a multi-year plan. Like with your YouTube channel, like what, are you going to go for a year and then stop? Like, of course not. You're going to keep going because it's kind of flowing through you. So when you find those things that you do have an affinity for, that you enjoy, that you're naturally good at, which sometimes is difficult for us to know, it makes it easier if you just at that level, you're like, I think skincare is going to be the thing and wrinkle cream's a thing. And you're a 22-year-old dude in the basement. There's going to be a point 4 months down the line where you're like, I can't freaking write another article about skincare. I hate it. And your competitors who absolutely, they're estheticians. They love that world. They are not going to slow down. So it's kind of thinking of it through that lens. Now, as you get more money to deploy, it becomes a numbers game and you literally are able to look at it a numbers game. And I'm going to drop three companies that are worthy of looking into to buying these types of assets that are already built and already cash flowing. Obviously, there's a due diligence component involved. Motion Invest is, they're a really smart company out of Canada. They buy the assets themselves. They hold them and take the cash flow while they offer them for sale. I love that they're actually buying the asset themselves. They trust it enough. They're like, yep, this will go in my portfolio until someone wants to buy it from me. FE International is one of the best known brokers of websites in the world. And Empire Flippers is another broker of websites. And they'll sell multi-million-dollar websites for sure. Everything from e-commerce businesses. So if you're on that scale where we're putting $150, $250, $500,000, even $50,000 into a site is something you're interested in, consider something that's built and running, because it's got momentum and you pay a premium for it, obviously, but it's going to be easier for you to build a team and for you to keep it in momentum than it is to start at zero and grow, because there's that period between month two and month seven that there ain't much going on. And I know, because I've been through the process enough times to ignore that doubt, but someone who's new is gonna be like, gosh, is this stuff gonna work? And I call it the chasm of death. And that's where most people just fall flat. And they're like, oh, this stuff's taken. It just doesn't work. We're not good at delaying gratification, but you have to wait for the power of compounding of your efforts to work. So buying from a reputable, honest company that can actually sell you actual assets, and there's a time and a place for that, absolutely. The more you care about it, you enjoy it, the better off. But my niche site that I chose, I know what the things are. I haven't revealed the site at all or what the niche is. I know what the things are, but that's about it. A few example websites that people might want to look at to see this in action. Like, what is a good site that you're, what does this even look like, Miles? What is an example? Moderncastle.com. They're reviewing Roomba vacuum cleaners, smart home things, really well done website. And they buy stuff and they have a room in their house. They like create spills on their floors and they actually test it. And so they're doing real deep testing of it. Another one's Brew Cabin, B-R-E-W-C-A-B-I-N. He really likes home brewing and he's built a brew site. And then the last one would be Swim University. This site's doing something to the tune of $400,000 per year, maybe a little bit more. He worked in the swimming pool industry as a kid and he just started creating articles that teach people, like, what do I do if my hot tub's green? What do I do if my hot tub's murky? What do I do if, because that's what people search, right? You come home one day, you look at your pool, you're like, oh God, my pool's green. What do you do? You either go to YouTube or Google and you search for it. So he's been putting up this content and it's structured really well. It's really clean, it's fast loading, it's educational. And then obviously the answer to what do I do to my green pool, you pour a bunch of chemicals in it. Well, which ones? It's the ones with his link. And when you click that link and you buy the chemicals, you read his article, you're like, this guy knows what he's talking about. He makes money. So he's making money by educating you and leading you to the thing that gets you the goal that you want. And I think it's good to have both of those references because you can go look at the sites that are for sale. Even if you're building a site and you're not going to buy one, you can go see what's working. And it's just helpful to realize that the ultimate goal is for us to help people. The better I am at helping more people, the better you are on this channel of actually helping more people, the more money you're going to make. It's not always direct, like, okay, I'll help you and then click here. Like, it doesn't, that's not how our world works. Right. It's a bit intangible, but that is absolutely how our world works.
Yeah. So, okay. If I'm watching this and I'm saying, okay, Miles, I get it. I understand the example of the swimming pool guy, but it sounds like these examples are kind of have more broad appeal. But what I like or what I'm really passionate about is something that it's just me and maybe two other people in the world. I mean, who on earth would be interested in macroeconomics as an example?
As an example. I mean, FinTwit, right? All you gotta do is jump on Twitter
I just use it as
an example. ESLIQ and it goes crazy.
That was my mentality when I first started. Well, initially when I started the YouTube channel, I was doing real estate investing because that's what I do in retirement. But I thought I love talking about macro. I mean, that's obviously what I'm passionate about. But I thought, my goodness, no one in their right mind would ever want to watch a video on the repo market or on quantitative easing. And sure enough, when I started doing those videos, those were the ones that took off. But I've listened to so much of your stuff, and I know you've got a lot of examples of people who have very esoteric interests, to say the least. And they've actually taken this concept and created a little business or an asset that produces a lot of cash flow for them. So can you give some of those examples? The one thing that's coming to my mind is the gal that you know that does the horseback, the exercise for horseback riding. I mean,
yeah,
that
it's such a perfect. So it's not just horseback riding, it's dressage riding, which is horse ballet. Right. It's like a deep, deep, deep subset. And it's fitness for, so she's not teaching people how to ride. She's not teaching people how to ride. It's these super deep niches of fitness for dressage riding. And they're crushing it. They are absolutely crushing it. And what's cool is in their lifestyle, they have a 2 hectares. They're in New Zealand, so they got 5 acres, give or take. She now has 3 horses on her property. She had one when I was last there. They've built an arena, and all of that is tax deductible. And their barn is growing, and of course, their video equipment. They do shots on their house with their so there's like a lifestyle component to this for the right types of people, like the brew guy who just loves brewing beer, and like all of his brew forever is tax deductible. He takes pictures of it. He writes about what he's doing. What a win-win-win, especially for that segment of our audience we're talking to that's currently working in a gig economy. They're like, dude, 3, 4, 5 grand a month, I'm golden. But then to do that and actually get something that you love and to be in alignment with something you love, I've got students who are in their 60s who are teaching quilting, and it's a big thing. Gamers, drones, drone racing, racing drones, drone cinematography. Another guy, expertphotography.com, I think he's on the path to $10 million a year with his business. He's definitely making $1 million a year on his business. So, you know, just that's $83,333 a month or more. And he loves photography. He's a really good photographer, and he's putting these super deep dive tutorials and guides on photography in the space. And when you really get into it, man, like the model trains dude has access to more model trains people today than he ever did before. The big businesses used to own the attention of all of these random weird niches that people are all into. And now it's been decentralized, and we all can just start posting videos. The golf space, oh my gosh. Like, not just the golf space, but the putting world is an entire world that you can go after. The how to outdrive your buddies world is like, there's a whole business around just the driver, right? Like, or just the chipping, because everybody knows that short game's where it's really at, right? It's a magical time because we live in the time of the long tail. Everybody wants to know what they're really geeky into. In the other room over here, I have this thing. It's called a racing simulator. I love racing cars. I always have, but I live very remote. I'm on 20 acres. I'm nowhere near a track. The logistics of me having a car and getting to a track and back is ridiculous. So it is a full-on racing cockpit. I run a very, very high-end elite series of cars where it's people versus people. This is racing simulation. There's no robots. This isn't a game. I'm literally sitting there with people from around the world. We are competing in laser scanned, exact precision measured tracks for IndyCar. And we're literally racing each other, 75 lap races. It's a blast.
I'd never get anything done. I'd literally do that 24 hours a day.
It is amazing. You got to walk away sometimes, man. You get wrecked out and you're in third and you get wrecked out on under the white flag and you have to walk away at periods of time. but there's a whole world, and most people are hearing this and us banter about it and they're like, I don't know what there's a whole world. There's a $1 billion world around that thing that you, the viewer, probably never actually heard of, right? The gardening space, like it's so that's where we're at, is people are flowing money. So people flow money to their kind of the things that they're like awkwardly obsessed about. Golf is a really good example of this. Everyone has their thing and we're willing to spend lots of money. I mean, my setup over here, like that's cheese, man. I'm thousands and thousands and thousands. I didn't even blink. What's the best one for me and go. And everyone has that. And when we start to share about what ours is and other people, we will build an audience of people who love what we love. And boom, it opens up the whole esports world. A kid last year won Fortnite, and most of the older folks are not going to get this, and they'll be like, "What?" So the kid who won this game, it was a global competition of Fortnite. He earned $3 million in prize money. That's more money than the winner of Wimbledon. That's more money than the winner of the Indy 500. That's more money than most PGA Tour golfers who win an actual tour stop earn. 16-year-old kid. Why? Because this world of esports is a $100 billion industry and growing, and most people watching have no clue that it's even a thing. And there's a million and one niches like that out there right now. The woodworkers are getting together with the woodworkers. And then there's the woodworkers who think screws are the enemy and you got to use pins and other things, and then there's gardeners who think permaculture is the only way, and there's flower gardeners, and it's just a million and one niches right now that and it's all wide open, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, for sure. Most of my viewers are going to really resonate with, okay, I live in a developed country. I'm a little concerned about what's going on with whether it's quantitative easing or what the government's doing with the stimulus package or printing up all these dollars. What's going to happen to my wealth? You know, are they going to ban cash? There's a lot of things to kind of be concerned with, or at least cognizant of. And so I think to maybe give them an opportunity to unplug from the system or to do something that gives them more flexibility and more freedom from a financial standpoint. And once you have more freedom financially, then you physically, you also have a lot more freedom. And it's not just about, well, I have to make $100,000 a month. Even if you're someone that's, let's say you're making 50 or 60 grand a year, but you have an additional $3,000 or $4,000 coming in a month, that gives you so many more options. So can you tell us how your life has changed in maybe the last 10 years since you really started to focus on this and really start to understand how it works from a standpoint of not only financial freedom, but also your physical freedom and where you can go around the world at what time. And if you maybe don't like what's going on in the United States, well, maybe you want to go over, you know, somewhere else. And now you've got the flexibility to do that.
Yeah. So if I was to rewind back several years, we were in California. I grew up in the San Francisco area, and boy, those tax bills, man, they just hit hard in that state, right? And there's other states where a lot of high earners live and congregate that the tax bills really, really hit. And once we were able to separate our physical location from the income we were earning, we kind of were able to be like, wait a minute, like, why am I paying? Okay, so I'm here in this state. I get to say that I'm from here. Like, why did they just take that extra 30 grand for me? Like, if I go over there, so it opens up this level of freedom. So what we did is we literally moved into an RV at that point in time, and we were like, screw it, we're going on the road, we're taking this show on the road. And we kind of live like retired people, actually, which is funny. So we go traveling around. Obviously we connected with a different state, we became residents of a different state, boom, instantaneous pay increase from there. While we were wintering in Arizona, we were like, well, I got these credit card points, let's go to Costa Rica. Free trip, round trip to Costa Rica, brought our laptops with us, continued scaling our business from the beaches of Costa Rica. And we were remote, man. I'm talking like jungle pathways, monkeys over, howler monkeys overhead, and we're still building our business. And that, something shifted inside of us on that point. We came back, we sold the trailer, we sold the truck. Sold everything in 7 days, moved to Mexico. And I spent the next 4 years living on the beaches around the world, Europe, South America, you know, visiting friends in New Zealand. I've spent almost a year and a half in New Zealand and Australia combined, all over the beaches of Asia. And then we felt like we wanted a piece of land to grow some food, to get a different type of freedom, the whole American redo idea. Well, where do we want to have that? I don't know. Let's go look around. So I built up this camper Jeep with a pop top and did a ridiculous overlanding vehicle. And we lived in it and on it for 90 days straight for a summer, touring around the mountains and the pine forests of the inland Northwest, found a little plot that's got 20 plus acres. I got a beautiful place in Sedona. I got a couple of homes. I'm able to migrate between. This is how I want to live my life now. And recently, when things started getting crazy, I was on a 6-week trip of Panama and Belize and Machu Picchu in Peru, and things started to get weird. And I was able to turn on a moment, and I rerouted. I changed our flights, and I changed our trip around. I don't care how much that cost me. I didn't think or look or care at all. I was like, I'm ready to be back around my native speaking country folk hospitals, right? Whether it's a good thing or a bad, I just didn't want to have any, I didn't want to be in a foreign speaking country. And I speak really, really good Spanish. And then that freedom to turn on a dime and to be able to be over here now. And so what it does is it opens up all these lateral moves, really. And for anybody who isn't a business owner, oh my gosh. So business, being a business owner and being a real estate investor, those are two great ways to open up gigantic tax opportunities for you. The freedom of location open up lifestyle and tax advantages. Plus where I live here, boy, what I can get, the 20 acres, the magnificent 3,500 square foot house I've got here, couldn't even get a condo in Tahoe for this. Literally, I lived on the shore of Tahoe. It's a beautiful place, but I couldn't get a condo. People above and below, and I got 20 acres, right? So it just, it really, like when we detach location and time from where we're earning, the world opens up and a different level of being is able to emerge from that. And it can be really quite amazing. And you could spend a ridiculous amount of time racing cars online if you want when you get to a certain level. It fits.
I mean, it's so true. So many people in the comments and on my live streams will say, okay, George, I get what's going on here, but what can I do? What can I do to increase my personal freedom or my flexibility? Or what can I do to protect my wealth? And I say, well, you know, from an investment standpoint, you've got these three rules. But this, I think, takes it to a whole new level, which to your point, if you can detach your income or your source of wealth or cash flow from where you have to be physically, that's the ultimate. That is the ultimate. My whole point with doing this video is to make sure that people understand this opportunity and understand that no matter whether you're 15 years old or you're 105 years old, this is an opportunity that's available to you. And maybe you don't make 100 grand a month or 10 grand a month, but even just 2 or 3 grand a month working on this nights and weekends just opens up a whole new world.
Yeah. And there's two ways to make more money, right? And like we either help more people or we help people with bigger problems and challenges. So the whole premise, the overarching premise of this working is helping other people. And so we not only get to detach from our time and our location, but we're helping other people. And that's actually a lot more fulfilling than the income. And people who don't have the income are like, yeah, right, but bullshit. It is. It really is when you know that you're really, truly helping people. And then there's this kind of cycle of reciprocation that allows you to earn income by doing great service here on YouTube, right? And you get yours from the time you put in, and it's really focused on helping people. And if you think about kind of macro right now, there's more people who need help today than there ever have been before, right? There's more people searching online for help in whatever it is they're doing and they're dealing with. And the opportunity is absolutely massive for us right now. And it's something you can build or you can kind of shortcut your way into it a little bit with the right kind of a cash flow. And I think that I'm in a position right now that, so let's say inflation, right? There's definitely some data points that say inflation's coming. And actually those data points have been very valid for 10 plus years. Anyways, I have complete control over my pricing. Right. And if you're an employee, you are in this delay. It's like a slinky effect. It's like, okay, so the company raises the prices. The bread costs more. Well, then the truckers, how long till the truckers who deliver the bread make more? Okay, there's a delay there. How long till the warehouse workers? Okay, how long till the baker of the breads start to earn more? How long till the farmers who are growing the oats to make the oat bread make more? I change my prices in an instant, right? So I have this insane flexibility, this insane freedom. If I needed to generate $100,000 tax bill, this, that, some other reason, or I'm just like, I need to buy another parcel of land, whatever, I could put together an offer. I've got an audience who knows me, likes me, and trusts me. I have an email list. I have 130,000 subscribers. I could put together a 6-week or an 8-week mentorship program for $500 a person. I could sell 200 people into that. I'm there. Bingo. Yeah. Right. I have full control over my cash flow. Now, I don't want to make too many offers because then I become that guy and I get annoying. I don't want to overuse this and I don't necessarily even want to pull that card now, but it's nice to know it's there. It's an intangible value that the asset of growing an audience and growing this kind of platform online that's always there. And that freedom, that knowing that it's always there, ooh, talk about peace of mind. Like my 401k that, I could just take massive haircuts over there and be like, I don't really care. I got great cash flow. I mean, I kind of care. I'm not being ridiculous in that sense, but like if it happens, it happens. I'm not limited on my cash flow. I can go over here. Yeah. Colonel Sanders started KFC at 65 and he got 150 no's before he got his first yes, right? There's so many stories of even later in life, like you can build this stuff. There's one lady on YouTube. She's the Granny Gamer, and she plays these like intense PC games. She's 84 years old. Okay, okay, grandkids, today we're gonna go kick some ass. And she's like battling, and she has 465,000 subscribers or more, Wow. Probably over 500,000 subscribers now. And she just plays games, and she's got sponsorships, and people are shipping her computers. And because she just loves playing games with 13-year-old kids and being the granny, and like, oh my gosh, right? There's a dude on YouTube in Australia who builds. He's literally going back to like Cro-Magnon man. He's building stone tools. He's building mud huts. I forget the name of it. He's got 8 million subscribers right now. And it's all silent.
Like Survivor Man or something.
100% is. And it's some kid in Australia. He didn't know how to do it. He bought a book about Primitive Technologies is the name of the channel. I guarantee a lot of your listeners have seen it. It's like watching a meditation. And now he's actually to the point where he's making iron. He's getting like the certain bacteria out of the creek and he's burning it in the kiln that he made and like 8 million subscribers. That's all he does. He's bought a parcel of land now in Northern Australia and he just builds the stuff, videotapes it, puts it out. He makes like tens of thousands of dollars per episode he puts out because he had a book and he's like, whatever. I'm just going to be interested in this. Go. That dude not only has survival skills in a major way that if it hits the fan, he's good. Pretty good cash flow and some pretty good resilience in the 3D world and in the capitalist world as well.
Yeah, you talked about inflation. I love the fact that you're touching on macro because that's really going to resonate with a lot of my viewers. But also, obviously we're most likely going into a recession. It could be worse because of what's going on. But these types of businesses seem like they could be pretty recession-proof as well. Have you seen, I know you were in this space back in 2008, 2009. Yeah. How did it work back then?
Really well for us. I mean, we got our start in the worst economy before this one, of my lifetime before this one. So I think, again, it's people shift their focus. Now, not every niche, not every world is going to do great through this. Right, there's going to be areas. So you got to think about, I like the Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Mm-hmm. And there's that base layer security. There's those things that will never get over. Love, shelter, food, warmth, right? There's some core things. So I think the prepper niche, the bushcrafting niche, the overlanding niche, the camping niche. Like, what are people going to do are you going to go get on a cruise this summer? Or are you going to go camping with the family and get away from humans and into space? There's going to be so many more people looking at tents and backpacks and hiking poles and all these things. But at the same time, they're going to be stopping looking at other things. So one interesting data point, one interesting trend that's going down right now is podcasting. The numbers around podcasting and streaming audio listening are tanking right now. The numbers around video viewership are going up massively right now. So then you got to think why? Well, why is that? Well, nobody's commuting. Very few people are sitting 2 hours in traffic on 880 or going over the bridge or trying to get into San Francisco or on the tube or whatever they're doing. They're not doing it anymore. They're at home. So they're just going to watch the video now. So these within that greater change, there's all these microchasms and micro bubbles. So my wife and I, meditation, asking bigger questions like, why am I here? And spirituality, we're kind of positioned because when shit goes crazy, those are the kinds of things that people start to think about. They buy more alcohol, right? They want more psychics, that those things go up. And I think the Miles Beckler brand is in a good position. I think the finance world is as well. Are horse people going to continue to ride their horses and love their horses and be around their horses? You damn right they are. Horses are like, it's like kids and horses and then everything else below there, right? Like, so there are these things that are non-negotiables. So there's a bunch of golfers who maybe aren't hitting the links anymore. And they're starting to think about like, how do I convert my garage into a driving range? How do I keep my game tight in the backyard when I live in a normal neighborhood? And there's potentially these new emergent sub segments and worlds within all of these different niches. But again, I think a lot of superfluous things are going to get cut out quick because 27 million, 26, 24 million people, are filing for unemployment and they're more important. They're waiting in food lines right now. Grains of salt everywhere within this, my numbers are up across the board. Like everything is going very, very well for our business. And I think we've thought very specifically, am I just selling random, I don't sell cheap plastic stuff made in China on Amazon because it's cheap, because people want cheap, because cheap. I think that that is going to die. And I think there's a lot of people who have been all in on that for a while. And I think emergent from this societally, we're going to be like, man, that's just some cheap plastic made in China. I don't know if I want to buy that. Maybe I'll find an American made. Well, maybe it'll cost me more, but it's probably going to be durable and it's probably going to last me a lifetime instead of last me 2 months. So, you know, be on the leading edge of that, not on the trailing edge of that.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. So I want to be cognizant of your time. If I'm someone that I want to put you in this situation to see what you would do. So you're someone that's very skeptical of the purchasing power of the dollar long term, let's say over the 10 years. And you like gold, you like Bitcoin, you're in that mind space. And let's say you've got $100,000 to invest, but you're listening to this podcast, or maybe 200, and you're listening to this video, and you're saying, well, this makes a lot of sense. And right now, I think real estate's in a bubble. I don't know, the stock market is still really expensive, and I've got a lot of gold and silver and Bitcoin already, but man, what Miles is talking about, if I could buy something for 50 grand or 100 grand, it's got this cash flow coming in, that would be ideal, but I know nothing about the internet. If I just dropped you into that position, what would Miles Beckler do?
Team, people, yeah. Human beings. Find people who will march through the depths of hell with you and out the other side. Find the hungry, like ambition. So when I hire, that's what I look for. I got 20 something people on my team. The one thing, I don't know how to hire people, to be perfectly honest with you, but I know I can smell ambition when I find it. And when I find ambitious people who maybe don't have the skills and they maybe don't have the talent, but boy, they got that drive. That is, it's missing from our culture right now. Like Americans have lost, not all obviously, but boy, across the board, there's entitlements up and ambition is down. And I would say you have to find those right people, because without the right people, that money could disappear. And it would be better to leave it in a money market account that's getting 0.7%, and at least it's not going away. It'd be better to put it in treasury bonds that cycle every 4 weeks, let it go, cycle it out 4 week cycles, break it up into four week cycles. You're maybe making 2%. I haven't looked at it in a while. Maybe it's 1.5%, but you ain't going to lose it yet while you build the team. Figure out the team. Who are your actual lieutenants? Who are the people? Because honestly, within your network, you probably have the people. You're probably connected with them at maximum one layer of separation away on Facebook or wherever it is you are. It's a cousin's kid, something, but you got to find the ambition. It's easy for people to say like, oh yeah, I'd love to do that. I could do that. Yeah, I'll figure that out. I mean, you know how many websites and people, oh, my cousin, I have my little cousin, my nephew was going to work on that 7 years ago and he never finished it. Like, that's a very common story. But when you find somebody who's truly hungry, they've proven that they're a problem solver. I think athletes, anyone who has excelled to the point where they're playing Division I college something. My wife played D1 ball. She put herself through college with D1 ball. That girl knows how to work. She used to show up at 5 a.m. in the foot of snow to go shoot out. And she how do you dig into people to find that? And when you find the right person, figure out a way to get a low risk, small project going. See if you guys can publish things together. See if you can start to create things together. When you've proven that you can click, then consider buying an asset to really deploy with them, to just minimize all of that thing. And I would say avoid partnerships at all costs. Don't partner with them unless you absolutely have to. Partnerships create problems, especially if you're the one with the money, because that means they're the one without the money, which means they need more money at all times. Whereas all of my relationships are employee-employer, and I put people on salary. When I find the right people, I don't want them looking around for other jobs. I don't want them driving Uber. I don't want them to maybe accidentally get sick because they're doing DoorDash or whatever to float themselves. I pay my teammates well, so they don't go sniffing around for anything else, because I want them all in on what I got going on. And it's amazing what you can get for $20 an hour. Like, for a lot of people in our country right now, smart, intelligent, ambitious people who have a track record of accomplishing things, sports, whatever it is, $20 an hour right now, working from home, having a little bit of freedom of time, that's freaking magic for a lot of people. Yeah. And you just got to go find those right people.
Yeah. And I think there's going to be it's kind of, it's unfortunate to say, but it's reality that moving forward over the next 6 months or year, there's probably going to be a lot more talented people out there who are looking for that type of opportunity, for sure. So you can leverage that. I really love what you're saying about, if you've got some capital, but you might not understand how this works, start by watching some of your videos, kind of get that, that base understanding. And then once you kind of want to try this out, don't go all in with a $100,000 website. Just buy a website for a couple grand, and with that one person that you think might work out, go through, make all your mistakes and test it out, see what happens. So then your downside is $5,000 as opposed to $100,000. And once you figure things out at that level, then just keep scaling up and scaling up as you get more confidence, your skill set improves, and then the stakes are bigger, you're making more money, and then you're kind of building out that portfolio. That makes a lot of sense.
And remember that if you are going to be showing high earnings, a lot of capital gains, you might be able to, obviously talk to a CPA, you might be able to offset that through man hours, right? Through, and I would prefer if people thought about this as, I'm going to commit to starting a digital media business. That's what we consider ourselves. I sell meditations. I do affiliate marketing, but we run a digital media business. We create digital publishing platforms that put content out, connect people with what they want, and we earn income from that. And if you think about it from that structure, you're about to make a bunch of money. Well, if I bring on somebody whose salary this year and you can offset that. There can be a tax benefit for you versus throwing all your money into a website. Oh, I really hope this works. When you build a team who has skill sets, who can produce results consistently, they can drive traffic and they can create sales online, you could create a portfolio of websites. You could create that is the asset I think I would really hope for people to get to. A website's a component in that. And just that little bit of perspective shift could probably be a nice little bow on top of this.
All right, buddy. Well, I sure appreciate your time. Awesome conversation. For my viewers who want to learn more about what you do, where can they go to find out more information?
Yeah, I'm the only Miles Beckler in the world, so I was gifted with a unique name. So you can just search Miles Beckler anywhere. Most of my content is on YouTube, and then it gets onto my blog, which is milesbeckler.com. If you're on YouTube, if you want to take a look, I've got a affiliate marketing case study series. So just use the search bar, Miles Beckler, affiliate marketing, and that'll get you into the basics. I'm really, really big on go help a group of people with something they're looking for. Horseback riders getting more fit so they can spend more time on their horse, whatever it is, find a group of people you can help do what they love more of, and magic opens up from there. But catch me on YouTube. And when you pop in, make sure you say in the comments that you saw this interview. I'd love to hear from you in the comments.
Yeah. And I just one last thing. I want to encourage everyone that's watching right now to, and if you're thinking to yourself, okay, this sounds amazing, but I still just don't think I've got what it takes, I want you to go to Miles' YouTube channel, Miles Beckler. It's his name, just like me. Go and sort his videos. I'm sorry to put you on the spot here, but
by the oldest.
I know you say to do this all the time. So I want you to look at his oldest videos, or when he first started posting. Look at those, compare them to his videos today. And I want you to do the exact same thing for my channel. Go to George Gammon, my YouTube channel, sort the videos by oldest. Look at when I first started posting 8 months ago, and look at how bad those videos are. And don't compare yourself to my videos now or to Miles' videos now. Compare yourself to our videos when we first started, and then I think you'll understand how possible this is for everybody.
100% agree with that.
All right, buddy. Have a good one, and I can't wait to do it again.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for listening to the Rebel Capitalist Show. For more content like this, check out the Rebel Capitalist blog at georgegammon.com or go to the George Gammon YouTube channel.